League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to The Smiley Show and a Friday edition, a major championship edition, recapping all the action, journal style, at from Royal Portrush with Smiley coming right off the course. Lots to talk about today. We have the world number one at the top of the leaderboard. But Smiley, I'm going to give you the floor to start. Many people, there's a degree of virality happening here. Hot mic situation. The floor is yours. What would you like to say about what happened at 15 with John Rahm?
Well, I was on 15 watching Rahm. I was in the middle of a thought where I'm talking, and then immediately my audio and my ears went dead silent after like a big pop in my ear. So when you hear a big pop and then it goes dead silent, in the past when I've had that happen, the mic in the pack is done, like it's out. And so immediately I just like whisper under my breath, I say, you know, WTF. And so in my mind, I'm thinking that I'm just talking to myself. And then audio comes back maybe 20, 30 seconds later where I kind of fiddle with some things. And then I'm obviously hearing that there's a situation at hand. So, it's definitely a lesson learned. Anytime, of course, that your mic is open, you always have to assume you're on air. And I made a huge mistake not thinking that I was on air, but it's just a bizarre audio situation that we're using different equipment over here than that we typically have. So like my audio or my on-air button and my audio is controlled typically by two switches. And this week it's a little bit different to where it's just off and not typically what we use. And then I've had issues with my pack a couple different times this week. So I'd had my pack changed out twice during that round because it had gone out. So I thought it had gone out the third time, of course you'd be just kind of frustrated internally as you're talking on air and it goes out. So that was where the frustration kind of came from. And then there, of course, there was frustration after when I realized that it was on air the whole time. So just a bizarre situation. The team's been great. They've been, very supportive of something that, of course, should have never made the air.
Quite understandable. You are not the first. You most certainly will not be the last. Let's talk some golf now. We have the world number one with a one-shot lead heading into the weekend at the Open Championship. Let's just talk Scotty here. I mean, just his performance today, shooting 64. I mean, leaves a putt hanging at 18 for 63 that would have given him a two-shot lead going into the weekend. How do we frame Scotty here just in terms of what he's done well and the outlook heading into the weekend? I mean, you know, he is undoubtedly the favorite. What can he not do this weekend to lose this tournament? I guess I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how do we play this thing out with him carrying this lead with all these guys chasing him and clearly being the guy that is, you know, the one that cannot lose this thing.
Well, I mean, it's hard to compare somebody to Tiger Woods, but he's starting to do that at major championships now. When you have, you know, the best ball striker in the field combined with now the best putter in the field, it's ridiculous. You know, he's currently, when he shot 64 today, 10 under par, one shot lead. And it seems with Scotty, you know, when he's just around the lead, it feels like he's going to win the golf tournament. But when he gets a lead heading into a weekend, it feels like an insurmountable thing for everybody that's trying to chase him. So I think that's where my mind immediately goes, is that Scotty has given himself an opportunity now to just play his golf. I think if the weather was a little bit tougher on the weekend, which it's wind's not supposed to blow quite as much. I thought actually it would have been a more of an advantage to him to where he can just kind of babysit his lead, try to hit a bunch of fairways and greens and just kind of pick apart the golf course, not making a ton of bogeys. But there's still definitely a world in which there's plenty of great players behind him that can definitely go make some runs this weekend. But when he got the lead heading to the weekend, I'm not saying it's over by any stretch of the imagination, but it just feels that way when you have the number one player in the world looking as good as he did, especially with the flat stick today.
Right. Like, I think that's the thing I'm trying to resolve in my head is you're looking at Data Golf. They're giving him a 56.3% chance to win this tournament. And you're just wondering how, and again, like the conditions today markedly improved on what we saw on Thursday. I mean, just the scoring average, I think that's the place to start too, as well as like, you know, we were talking about a morning wave that was 2.5 shots over par, an afternoon wave that was 1.5 shots over par. If you're looking at those stats right now on Data Golf, the morning wave, wow, 0.45 shots over par, afternoon 0.36. So just, it just kind of gives you an indication of how.
Say that last bit again. Sorry. So
that last stat.
So you're basically, I thought you said that the afternoon wave was a little bit easier today than the morning wave. Is that what you just said? And then you said stats right after that.
By about a tenth of a shot. I mean, almost negligible in comparison to what we saw yesterday. It was more than a shot. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you're saying yesterday was more than a shot and then today was close. Got it.
Well, I mean, I think in general, you know, what we're looking at is it was on the whole much easier to score today. And that was reflected across the board. I mean, we saw a lot of guys, you know, move up. I weather comes into play. To your point, you know, let's see what we see on Saturday and Sunday. But if we get these optimal weather conditions, I think Scotty is, you know, there is a good chance he runs away with this thing.
They're really good at putting these flag sticks right in the corners of the greens that are up against, you know, 2 to 3% slopes, and then flag sticks that are on spines, flag sticks that are hiding behind slopes, which a lot of these Open Championship golf courses, the greens maybe are more so on the flatter side, but these greens have a bunch of slope in them. So they're really good at finding some very difficult hole locations, which I think yesterday, the firm, faster conditions, throwing a little bit of rain, made the golf course play difficult, especially when we had some heavier winds. And then today, we had a little bit of everything. We had all the seasons. We had a perfect evening. The end of the day was as nice as it's been all week. At one point during the day, I didn't have a rain gear, umbrella, and I've never been more wet in my entire life. And then at another point of the day, the wind was howling. So it just really was a bizarre day, kind of crazy that the draw was fairly even from morning to afternoon. I think everybody had to kind of battle the elements at some point during the day. But it's the Open Championship is climbing the rankings ladder. It's been climbing the rankings ladder for me as my favorite major championship. And this venue, this golf course, Port Rush, the fans, it's just an incredible event. And I'm excited for the weekend. I mean, we got a good leaderboard with plenty of possibilities with, you know, but gosh, if Rory's got a big lead, I mean, Scotty's 7 shots in front of Rory, and that just feels like a big task for someone like him to try to catch him at the top.
Well, and I think that is a great place to go as well. You know, if you're talking about Rory McIlroy, won the Masters this year, you know, coming, this is a home game of sorts for him in Northern Ireland. If you look at a leaderboard and you see T12 next to Rory's name heading into the weekend, you're feeling like he has a chance to win it. But 7 shots behind the world's number one player. I mean, I'm trying to figure out who gets back into this thing. Like what needs to happen with Scottie Scheffler's game to make this more compelling heading into the weekend? Because it feels like the more likely scenario is he runs away with it.
Well, technically it's the driver. It would be the issue for Scottie when you get in some crazy situations out here where you lose a ball at the 11th hole or you lose a tee shot on the fourth hole. Plenty of possibilities to screw it up off of the tee. But if he's able to keep it, you know, for the most part in the fairway or just off the fairway in places that he can advance it, that's where it feels like Scotty's going to be really tough to beat. But if he gets a little wayward with the driver, definitely feel like it opens it up for plenty of players. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick is hitting it really, really well right now. Made some big putts on the stretch. We know what type of player he is capable of being a major championship winner, US Open. And then, but it's still been a while since Matt's been, you know, in a situation like this. So you have to factor that there a little bit.
Well, and I want to talk about him a little bit. 566 today. And we were looking at him earlier in the year, and he looked like a player that was kind of lost. You know, breaks up with Billy Foster, finds a new caddy. But you start looking at his recent results, T17 at the Travelers, T8 at the Rocket Classic, T4 at the Genesis Scottish Open. Finding some form. I mean, what are I know you weren't following his group, but what are you seeing? Or like, what's he putting together here that looks like he could find some consistency? Like, it looks like he's at the time he wins the U.S. Open, he's a top 10 player in the world, and then the fall after that was precipitous, and now we're back in a place where he's playing great golf. He's in the mix. He's, you know, 59th in the world, but looking to move up after this weekend. It looks like he's found something again.
Totally. Confidence has come back with just, you know, ball flight kind of coming back a little bit. You know, Mark Blackburn's really incredible at helping guys understand their patterns and getting them understanding really just their concepts of, you know, what they're doing wrong and how they can do it better. And Fitzy's a really smart guy, very, very smart, intelligent, and works really hard. And I'm happy to see that he has been trending. You know, he's probably another player that we probably could have mentioned as a sleeper heading into the week, but hasn't necessarily played well in Lynx golf. I know we think that every European player is grew up on Lynx and plays really, really well at Lynx golf courses, but his record's not great. But you would think it should be because of how he plays the game. Has a very strong ball flight, very good putter, a gritty competitor, very smart, strategic. Those are all the things you need to be a good Lynx player. It just hasn't necessarily worked for him yet. But over these first 2 days, you know, shooting 400, 500, that's a great start. So I look forward to see what he can do. And then I think the other name is Brian Harman. He's just so solid, man. And this is a great track for him. And he's not going anywhere either. And especially if he can, you know, kind of, you know, take some time, if he's playing with Scotty on Sunday, just kind of get into somebody's head about, you know, making the right decision at that time, that would maybe get under some skin, right?
Mix in a few extra waggles. Yeah, yeah, just a waggle or two. Just throw in a few extra waggles, slow it down a little bit. I will say, spot on from you. Brian Harman, Tyrrell Hatton, Harris English. I mean, we're going to have to look into some insider trading here. You nailed this from the jump.
Well, it's just the golf course. It's the golf course that the skill set that's required at this place. I think it's not surprising to see some of these guys play well. And also another player, I know I keep on bringing up another player at a time, but I was watching Robert McIntyre on Thursday, in which he was actually playing really good golf and just kept on ending up in just terrible places and squeaked out an even par round where it felt like the places that he hit, it felt like it could have been worse, but also it didn't feel like he was playing that bad and should have been much, much better. And he went out and shot a 500 round par round. And I think he's a player that will continue to climb up the leaderboard just based on what I saw and his overall play.
I'm stunned by the turnaround for Bryson. Like one shot off the round of the day, 6 under. I mean, I'm not really the cut on the number.
He's so good at golf. And I saw his preparation heading into the week. He was in a great place, but he just hit in some weird, funky places yesterday and just misjudged everything out of the fescue. Didn't hit it well from the fairway. We talked about it. He just played too aggressively at times trying to chase. And when you chase on a golf course with really difficult pins, you stared at a lot of bogeys.
How much did you hear or see of the what became a 2-stroke penalty for Shane Lowry with the situation, I believe, at the 12th? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like he's not going to get stroked based on car ride on the way. He is officially getting stroked.
There was I believe, golf.com, a 20-minute conversation involving Shane, Scotty, Colin Morikawa after the round. They gave him a 2-stroke penalty there.
Okay. Wait, it was 2 strokes? Yeah. It's not 1 stroke?
2 strokes. Yeah. He's at even par now heading into the weekend.
Dang. Yeah. Is that already adjusted on the board too? Yeah. Breaking 36 minutes ago. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's clearly moved. I think everybody can kind of agree with that. But from what I could tell, it looked like Shane was doing, you know, check the lie, you kind of take a backswing and your mind.
Yep.
your eyes already take you up to the hole. So he probably didn't ever see it move. But clearly when he goes back and sees the video, I'm sure that you can argue a lot of things about, hey, if I didn't see it move, how can I call it on myself? But it would be tough knowing that with that video out there, it'd been pretty challenging for him to tee up tomorrow without the penalty. It just sucks.
Right. Smiley, something that I picked up early, it's like pre-7 a.m. on a feature groups feed with Bryson, reviewing a leaderboard, seeing Keegan Bradley's name, and there's apparently a report out there via Tim Barger at Sky Sports that Keegan is going to play on the Ryder Cup team and that Jim Furyk is going to be the de facto captain of sorts, managing team affairs while Keegan is playing. Have you heard anything about this? You know, how verifiable is this? Have you heard any chatter from tour pros or guys that are in and around that team?
I haven't heard anything, but I think we all expect that Keegan should be on the team. And I assume that what's going to end up happening is that, of course, Keegan has to pick himself. But I think if they ever do the captain's picks later on, Jim Furyk will probably, before all the picks are made by Keegan and introducing the rest of his team, have to think that Jim Furyk is going to come up or maybe one of the other vice captains, but assume Jim Furyk, as you just said, the de facto captain when he's playing, that he would introduce him as one of the picks, because he's obviously earned it. He's played really well today. He shot at 67. And I think when we look at this American team, it's hard to ever picture Keegan Bradley not being on it based off of his play. I think he can help the team. So it'd be a shame if he didn't play.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what the sourcing is there. I don't know who he's talking to, but it's just, you know, that popped up out of nowhere. I'm just like, oh, okay. That's kind of a footnote here.
There's a bunch of like language and contracts being sent around at this time, whether it's to captains or potential players, that I think it's pretty normal that this is something that they always end up having to do to sign for the PGA of America, just as they go through this process, and probably just more clerical than anything. What's happening right now, and maybe that's what's been leaked. I don't know. I've never made a team, so wouldn't know.
Fair enough. Okay, well, let's close here. Kevin Kisner, Bats, Dan Hicks. Like, what do you got for us on that front?
All right. So if you were watching, I mean, it was a wild day. It was an interesting day. I mean, so much happened. Scotty played amazing. My crazy thing that happened in 15, which didn't happen. And then during a middle of a downpour, in this set, apparently a bat got into the set, or some type of flying object that resembled a bat. And Dan Hicks is trying to shoot away like this. Kisner's crawling underneath the desk. I didn't see Terry or Fax, but I have to assume Fax definitely went down as well. So that was an interesting moment today. You know, I wish I could have blamed the bat on the whole instance that happened with me at 15, but maybe it was the bat in all this that caused it. It was just a crazy day.
Could have been, you know, bat chewing wires, packs failing, sure, things of that nature. Yeah. A strange Friday at Royal Port Rush. But so we enter the weekend, Scotty atop the leaderboard. How are you seeing this whole thing playing out? Like leave us with something here, like to think about, to kind of talk about, like as we're heading into the final two, moving day first and foremost. But who are you expecting to kind of see separate themselves as we head into Sunday at Royal Port Rush?
I think you're going to have to keep pace. You're just going to have to keep pace in this golf tournament. Have to avoid big numbers, and you're going to have to go make some birdies. And just kind of, you know, sometimes you end up being on the wrong hole at the wrong time in these tournaments. And whenever that does happen, it's being able to manage the moment and not letting it get away from you. But plenty of things can happen this weekend. Scotty Scheffler potentially winning an Open Championship in the last major would be amazing for golf. And the fact that we can go to Shinnecock next year and have Grand Slam talks already, which is just crazy to think about. But, you know, a two major win season is kind of where we kind of felt like was going to happen with Scotty this year, heading after, you know, just an incredible season last year with 9 wins. Two majors felt like it was almost going to be at the minimum. And right now he's leading heading to the weekend of the Open Championship. So, I'm going to be tuned in, excited, ready to see who's going to make a move tomorrow. And I'm sure a lot of people listening and watching are going to be excited too.
What do you think the number is heading into Sunday? Like, what do you think is leading?
It's so difficult to predict. I said 6 going into today because I thought we were going to have heavier more winds, weather, right? More yeah. rain, and it just wasn't nearly as hard as it was on Thursday. I have to think that you're going to have to keep pace at, you know, four. Seems like Scotty's probably going to shoot somewhere between 3 to 5 under would be a safe bet.
Yeah.
So somewhere around that 13 to 15 under probably is going to be the lead. Would be surprised if Scotty goes out and shoots even par. But I know those players behind him are probably expecting they need to be on their front foot tomorrow.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's what you have to look forward to. We appreciate you joining us for our Friday Recap Journal. Come back right here tomorrow for yet another Saturday recap of all the action from the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. We'll talk to you then.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the